A new wave of terror attacks strike Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Another day of rage in the West Bank. Rocks and marbles answered with tear gas and bullets. Deadly violence, both Israeli and Palestinian leaders say they want to stop. In the span of a week, four Israelis were killed in two separate attacks. Israeli forces either arrested or killed the alleged perpetrators. For everyone else came a clear message meant to deter more violence.
Regarding Jerusalem and the Temple Mount or Haram al-Sharif, it is absolutely unacceptable on either side to have violence resorted to as a solution. I would caution everybody to be calm, not to escalate the situation, to deal with this in a way that can find a quick way back to the full restoration of the status quo, and it is very important to maintain a sense of calm that will minimize the instinct for escalation.
Israel must stop its aggression and reach out for peace, because we want to reach a political solution. We told Israel we don't want a military escalation.
This could be the beginning of the third intifada?
I wouldn't predict at this point what the future holds. What we're hopeful is that despite the significance of the disagreements, that cooler heads will prevail, at least in preventing further violence and preventing further escalation of an already tense situation.
This ideology, this diseased view of the world, it's become an epidemic, infecting minds from the mosques of Mogadishu to the bedrooms of Birmingham. In some madrasas, we've got children being taught that they shouldn't mix with people of other religions, being beaten, swallowing conspiracy theories about Jewish people. These children should be having their minds opened and their horizons broadened, not having their heads filled with poison and their hearts filled with hate.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, again, that's 1-800-684-3110. Six new terror attacks have hit Israel in just the last 24 hours. Since we were on the air, since we were on this broadcast, six additional Palestinian terror attacks against Israelis, mostly civilians, but also including, of course, some military targets as well. We're getting the numbers to see if people had been killed in these attacks. These are still the knife attacks, the gun attacks. We have not seen explosions yet. We have not seen suicide bombers, and I would say yet. And that will be up to whether or not the Palestinian government is able to get their people under control. But as I believe, they're encouraging this kind of behavior. They're creating martyrs here and encouraging young men and, in some cases, women to carry out these brutal attacks against Israeli families. That's usually who's being caught up in these attacks, families walking back from a religious service, going through the old city. And this is happening inside Jerusalem, over six terror attacks in the last 24 hours. It does have the sound of a third intifada. And intifada means uprising. There have been two already. That's when you remember back more than a decade ago, those suicide bombing attacks that were hitting Israel on nearly maybe one or two a day. And of course, it can cripple tourism. The economy makes it very difficult. Israelis are strong. They move on. But it certainly changes everything. We are at a time that is so critical to stand with Israel. Imagine here in the United States, in a country of just 7 million, so we're a big country compared to Israel, very big, that they've experienced in just 24 hours six separate terror attacks. Six separate terror attacks. We must stand with Israel. We need our government to do more to stand with Israel. And this is a time you can act. Call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255, and tell our administration, speak up. Pull that funding from the Palestinian Authority and make sure they know the threat is there. You can always reinstall it later, but tell them right now, no more money to terrorism. That's so easy that the Obama administration could do that, but they aren't. They've got to hear from you folks. We need you to call right now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
This The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow, joined by me with me by Than Bennett as well as Jordan Sekulow. We got a lot of people who are interested in discussing this conversation, who are just kind of breaking in and starting the conversation online right now. And you can be a part of that as well. Join us on Facebook. On Facebook, we're broadcasting live, not just live audio, live video during the show and during the breaks. You can be a part of the broadcast, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Join the thousands that do each and every day and be a part of the discussion as well. On Periscope, you can watch the show live, watch the broadcast, see what we're doing, see what we're talking about, engage in a really interesting discussion, get your questions or comments on the air that way. Also, we got some lines open. Really would love to hear your feedback on what's going on in Israel and what your opinions are on not only the stance of the Israelis, but currently the stance of the American people and this administration, what you want to say to them about standing with Israel in this time of terror that seems to just be breaking out even more and more each day. If you want to do that, give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110. And Than, what are feelings, you're in Washington, D.C. right now, what are feelings right now when it comes to Israel in this situation coming from this administration?
Well, Logan, you heard Jordan in the first segment of the broadcast really lay out just how much of a tinderbox this region is. And here in Washington, D.C., I think one of the biggest frustrations is that this is not just happening in a vacuum. It's happening against a backdrop of a region where the United States, and specifically the Obama administration, has intentionally presented weakness. They have intentionally withdrawn. And what has happened is that has created a situation where Vladimir Putin has rushed in to fill that vacuum created by the U.S. withdrawal. So all of this increased violence might be happening because Mahmoud Abbas and his unity government with Hamas has signaled that this type of violence is okay. But that atmosphere at its premise, Logan, is really only possible because the United States has so significantly withdrawn its presence in the region. And the feeling here in Washington, D.C. is regardless of whether the next president is Republican or Democrat, this is something that has to be addressed. The U.S. force in the region, we have to once again be a leader instead of simply withdrawing.
Absolutely. And over 120,000 of you have already signed with us at the ACLJ, signed the petition to defund terrorists that are currently at war with Israel. Your taxpayer dollars and the dollars of the American people in general going to some of these organizations in the Palestinian regions and all these different places that are essentially still funding terrorism directed at the state of Israel. You can join us right now with that. ACLJ.org is the easiest way to do it. Or if you want to give us a call, if you're driving, think you can call better, give us a call at 1-877-989-2255. Again, that's 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition, or aclj.org. We do have a lot of comments coming in and a lot of calls. Rosanna came in just a second ago on Facebook, and she just said the president needs to address these attacks on Israel. When do you think he's going to talk about this issue? Not just talk about something specifically, even do something. But first, you know, it'd be great to hear some specific words from the president. And have we heard anything yet? Any comments from the president or the administration just yet on this situation?
Really not much, but people didn't understand. They probably shouldn't expect a whole lot, Logan, because remember, this is foreign policy by design. I mean, this is exactly the presence in the region that the president wanted. And I actually want to go back to something that we talked on the broadcast yesterday about. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, when the prime minister of Israel was speaking, did not attend that speech. That might not sound like to a lot to our listeners, Logan, but this is a specific diplomatic action that is taken commonly at the United Nations when you want to protest a given speaker. The United States would typically do this with someone like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. They did it last week to the prime minister of Israel. So if you're looking for a strong response from this administration, I just don't think that you're going to get one. You know, about the strongest response we got last week was from a State Department spokesman that said, we're not going to engage right now because there is not a specific resolution pending at the United Nations. Now, the response should have been, we stand with our ally Israel, and we are prepared to defend her.
And Secretary Kerry said something about this either. They talked about necessarily the situation. You guys take a listen to this and tell us your thoughts.
Regarding Jerusalem and the Temple Mount or Haram al-Sharif, it is absolutely unacceptable on either side to have violence resorted to as a solution.
So that's the comments from Secretary Kerry. Yeah, violence is not okay, even if you're the one being attacked. I think that's a little odd to say you can't defend yourself. And by defending yourself, you mean someone who's walking through your city in a tourist area, maybe, an area where people live, people work, singling out Jewish people, singling out Israelis, and killing them. But you have a problem with the fact that the Israelis decided to take that in their own hands and to take out the terrorists. Seems a little odd. I understand it's political rhetoric. It's just the state we live in, sadly, right now, where for some reason support of Israel isn't something that we can even stand up for. But we're going to go to Jordan. Jordan's via phone right now. We're having some issues with his connection, but he's still joining us because he wanted to chime in definitely on this situation going on right now in Israel.
That's right. And I think it's important just to set the stage about what we're talking about. This is not a single terrorist attack. In fact, in the last 24 hours, we're talking about six new terror attacks targeting children, targeting young people, focusing on Israeli civilians. This adds to the additional attacks we've been talking about on this week's show since Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority's speech to the United Nations. For instance, an Arab terrorist on Thursday afternoon stabbed a 25-year-old Jewish man at an area in Judea where Jewish patriarchs and matriarchs are buried. So in a religious area, stabbed a 25-year-old Jewish man by an Arab terrorist. Another terrorist, a 15-year-old Arab assailant, also stabbed. It's the third stabbing in that area since Thursday. And six terror attacks occurred on Wednesday. And just an hour or less before the attack, an Arab terrorist in Tel Aviv, this goes to Tel Aviv now, not just Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, stabbed a soldier with a screwdriver and stole her weapon and went on to wound three others, with the victim suffering here, again, light wounds. And then on top of that, a 25-year-old yeshiva student seriously injured, another man lightly injured in a terror attack just earlier on Thursday. That would be earlier today in Israel, the time difference, on Thursday afternoon at the Jerusalem, just waiting for the light rail, waiting for a bus or a train, and that was in front of the National Police Headquarters on Ammunition Hill, and that terrorist managed to escape. So these are just the kind of terrorist attacks occurring right now. Thank God we have not seen the suicide bombers yet, Logan, but ultimately that's got to be a top concern, is those terror attacks that don't just target one or two, and people have lost their lives here. Right. Families have been killed. But remember, the bombings, that is so dangerous, and it's kind of looming on the horizon right now. Israel's done a lot to protect its security. This is starting to really look like a third intifada.
For sure. We do have another comment from Secretary Kerry that I think ties back into this. You can kind of see the rhetoric from the administration that's going on right now. We do have a comment coming in from Nanette Rogers about the current situation of the election. We'll get to that right after this comment from Secretary Kerry.
I would caution everybody to be calm, not to escalate the situation, to deal with this in a way that can find
a quick way back to the full restoration of the status quo, and it is very important to maintain a sense of calm that will minimize the instinct for escalation.
That's right. So that's the rhetoric of the administration from Secretary Kerry, saying essentially, just everyone calm down. We need to calm down. Everything will be fine if we just calm down. You know, it's the same stuff we've heard over and over the last few years, especially when it has to do with Israel. It's almost this not want to stand up for the fact that Israel is one of our allies. And that is a comment that ties into one of our, someone we got from Periscope, Nanette Rogers said, voting has consequences, as I've heard here so many times on the show. We have one more year and we need to do something about it. What does that mean? Because you have one more year of the president's reign, essentially, President Obama's administration. Next year, just right at a year, like 54 weeks or so from now, we will be electing our next president. What does it mean, Jordan, to have a president that stands up for Israel? And then to Than, what does that mean in Washington?
Well, you know what it means? In a situation like this where violence is starting to literally explode into Jerusalem and now into Tel Aviv, so they've expanded, there's more Arabs and Palestinians that have easier access to Jerusalem than certainly they do Tel Aviv, which is a major city and not so much a tourist city, and the holy sites are in Jerusalem. Tel Aviv is like a big coastal city. Yeah. And so when you see the terrorists spread as well, this is what the next president could do. One, immediately pull Palestinian funding. Yes, it will hurt some Palestinians. Yes, but it sends a message. We will punish you for your bad rhetoric and your bad behavior. Get it under control. Maybe that funding starts. If you don't get under control, well, you're going to have to rely on someone else while you try to start your third intifada. And by the way, the U.S. is going to be backing every single military move Israel makes, and that may include moves that we have not even seen before. It is of course not going to be in proportion right to the stabbings and shootings. Israel's going to go in with major firepower, and the next president of the United States could say, and we're going to be with them all the way. This is what you get when you mess with one of our allies, our full support.
All right, we want to hear from you today. Give us a call if you want to sign that petition, essentially stating to our government, we need to defund all the terrorists that we're funding ourselves that are currently at war with Israel. You can read that petition in full and sign it right now at aclj.org. aclj.org, you'll see a big button that says sign the petition. Do that right now, or give us a call if you want to do it via phone, 877-989-2255. We do have a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to have your voice heard on the air or join us via Facebook or via Periscope, we've got a couple calls coming in. We'll get to those after the break. Again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. And someone just sent us a report that there's actually some more stabs in Israel, according to Facebook. We'll try to get that confirmed right now. We'll be right back with Jay Sekulow Live.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 888-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in for my dad. Jordan Sekulow is joining us via phone, as well as Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We do have a lot of calls and comments coming in via Facebook and via Periscope, but also on the phones. I think we're going to take some of those right now. Robert's calling with an interesting point of view from Salt Lake City, Utah. We'll see if you guys agree with Robert. Robert, what's your question or comment? You are on the air. Robert, you there? Robert didn't want to step into hostile territory, clearly, because he called in and said, we should get out of the Middle East completely. Interesting enough. We'll check to see if Robert's still there, see if he has the guts to be on the air to see what everyone has to say. But we'll move on to the next one. Bill's calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. From Bayonne, New Jersey. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thank you for the ministry. You guys are doing a wonderful job. My question is, with all of this filling out petitions and giving them to an administration whose agenda is already speaking pretty crystal clear about how they feel about Israel, and not only Israel, but America. Obviously, Barack Obama has done a lot to destroy the fabric of our very own nation. What good do those things actually do with a president who's obviously rebellious and doesn't care what the people have to say?
Bill. Oh, go ahead. What's your second comment?
You guys
we can answer
evaluated
that.
Senator Cruz's expose of the real reasons behind Speaker of the House Boehner resigning.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we'll get into that one, but to answer your first question about the petitions, we do get that call almost every day, at least once a week, people that are just concerned that we do petitions every time, and what do the petitions really do? Well, there's a reason, Bill, we do the petitions. We wouldn't be doing them if they didn't do anything. If they didn't do anything, we'd drop it, we move to something else. But they do work, and they do help in different ways, depending on who you're petitioning. If you're petitioning Congress, if you're petitioning the president, if you're petitioning the UN, it just totally depends on who you're going towards. And, Than, why don't you explain, as you have numerous times, I'm sorry to make you do it again, why these petitions matter and why they work for you on the Hill.
Yeah, no problem. This is so important. And I would say to Bill, look at the petition we are currently running as an example. This petition looks for a leverage point that we can actually accomplish change on, and that is the funding of a terrorist organization, in this case Hamas. They are part of the unity government there in Palestine, along with Mahmoud Abbas. We send that entity $400 million a year, even though U.S. law says that you cannot fund a designated terrorist organization like Hamas is. The president and the Obama administration continue to do that in violation of the law. So what this petition does is it goes back to Congress and says the president is not following the law here. Don't send him this money in the first place. Don't even give him the money to make a choice from. The next funding cycle that goes out the door, this $400 million should just be removed entirely, because if the president won't follow the law, you can make him follow the law by not sending the money. So you kind of, Logan, in a way on this one, you have to go around the president. You have to go back to the purse strings, back to Congress, who controls the purse string, and pull the money altogether.
So there you go, Bill. Hopefully that answers your question for you. Again, we do have to answer that quite often because people do get concerned and people get, depressed with what's going on. They don't understand why we don't support Israel, why we don't defund Planned Parenthood, why these things don't happen, even though we do petition to have, like you said, over 120,000 people joining with us right now. But stuff does happen. We have to move forward and you have to present these things. And the results have actually been astronomically positive. So if you want to be a part of that, you can call right now 1-877-989-2255, or the easiest way on aclj.org. We also don't talk about it much, but we have an app for iOS devices. If you have an Apple device, Apple iPhone, or an iPad, you can download the ACLJ app, look for it. Thousands of people have natively found it. We haven't even promoted it, but it's there. We're about to go through a major redesign, and it's probably the easiest way to sign each and every petition. You get push alerts. It's a really great way to do it, and that's through the App Store. And again, we'll be relaunching that soon, as well as a podcast. If you guys like this show, but you haven't decided to tune in, or you want to share it with your friends live, all you have to do is go to iTunes also and search for Jay Sekulow Live. You'll see we put up the podcast each and every day. And again, thousands of people download that as well. It's a great way to stay in touch and hear the shows when you miss them or share them with your friends. We're going to move on, take one more call at least for this segment. Thomas is calling from Sparks, Nevada. Thomas, I think we're going to agree with you, but you're on the air.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, first off, I'm a staunch supporter of Israel. I mean, I fly an Israeli flag. I'm probably the only one in state of Nevada that does it, outside of maybe some Jews. But my main comment here is that I'm sick and tired of every time there's hostilities between in Israel and Hamas or whatever country it is, they always blame Israel. You know, and they're not the ones that started. They're not the perpetrators. I mean, Israel is just trying to defend themselves, and they get criticized for defending themselves. And also, you know, I got a comment on something that John Kerry said, Secretary Kerry.
All right.
He said that, we can't tolerate violence on both sides. Well, if one country starts the violence, I mean, what's the other country supposed to do? And I think he forgets. He better restudy his American history, because our country started out of violence. You
right,
know,
right. Hey, we have that clip. Let's play that bite one more time from John Kerry so you guys can hear what Thomas is referring to if you're just joining with us on the broadcast.
Regarding Jerusalem and the Temple Mount or Haram al-Sharif, it is absolutely unacceptable on either side to have violence resorted to as a solution.
Can you believe, folks, that this is the America we live in currently, the fact that we're dealing with saying that, oh, you can't defend yourselves against terrorism and we have to condemn you, saying, well, both sides are having issues. And Bibi Netanyahu, as you may know, has been calling for negotiations, and Abbas walked away from the Oslo Accords, theoretically ending pretty much the peace treaty that's been going on. The so-called peace treaty, as you know, there's always been continual attacks that have happened, but nothing to this scale where it just continues day after day after day in quite some time. But, you know, this is just what happens with Israel, and this is what happens when Israel's under attack. We've been there many a times. I've been there. Jordan's been there. My dad has been there for months on end sometimes. And it is different when you're actually there and see the world they live in. We're not used to seeing, you know, pretty much everyone in the military, you know, required military service, where many people are walking around protecting you with AK-47s and protecting everything everyone stands for there that lives there, Jordan. And it's really a different world. And it's hard for us to say, you know, oh, it's okay. Both sides need to calm down and no one needs to fight each other. And it's okay. Look, they aren't just slapping them in the face. We're talking about murdering innocent people on the streets.
Absolutely. I mean, it strikes fear, because that means that anyone who fits that. So if you are a non-Arab in Israel,
right,
that means a tourist, a Christian tourist from all over the world. Think about that. From all over the world, people want to visit these holy sites. They're important to Jews, but they're especially important to Christians. I mean, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Western Wall, the sites around Israel specific to Catholics, Protestants, and also just the people who want to see the world. I mean, this is the top city to visit.
Sure.
Now, every one of those people has to think twice and think, I may be attacked because I'm not an Arab or Palestinian by walking through these streets. I know the security is very high, but these are pretty low-level attacks. They're knife attacks for the most part. We've seen one gun attack. What I'm most concerned about is this getting out of hand and becoming an attack where you see suicide bombers. That would be a true start to a third intifada, and a moment I hope we don't get there.
We have a call, Kim, who's about that. We'll take Kim after the break, but she ties into that, and I think you're absolutely right, Jordan. If you want to join with us right now, there are ways to do it. The show comes to end on a lot of stations after the half hour, but our show is actually a full hour. So if you want to listen to the full hour, if you want to interact, be a part of it, there's a couple ways you can do it. I'll tell you how to do that. If you're not on Sirius XM channel 131 or a few stations that carry the full hour, here's how you can get it. Go to aclj.org for an audio-only feed. So just like what you were hearing here, click Listen Live. Or if you want to watch what we're doing in studio, interact during the breaks. We talk to each other, get to hear, and you get to actually talk and debate and encourage other people with similar views or differing views to be a part of the conversation. There's an easy way to do it. Go to facebook.com/jseculo or join us on Periscope. Sorry, we got some breaking news we'll cover after the break. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Some interesting developments happening in Washington as well. We'll get to those. We get back on Jay Sekulow Live.
We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right.
Logan Sekulow again, sitting in for my dad. If you're just joining us here in the second half hour of the broadcast, you're joining us on one of the numerous stations that carry the second half hour online or on Sirius XM. Or hello to our folks at KKLA. They're probably driving home when they're hearing this right now. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be resetting the topic here shortly about what's going on in Israel, the vicious attacks from the Palestinians against Israeli civilians on the streets, murders that have happened over the last few days. But there is some breaking news going on out of Washington. I'm going to pitch to Than Bennett. Obviously, he's probably the best one to talk about what exactly is happening and what it means when it comes to some more domestic issues going on right now, Than.
Well, as everybody listening probably knows, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, was resigning his post as Speaker effective at the end of this month, October 29th, actually.
Right.
So there was going to be an election within the House of Representatives to replace him. And the way that happens, the majority party, in this case the Republicans, was meeting behind closed doors today to put forward a nominee. And it was widely expected that that nominee would be Kevin McCarthy, who is number two in the House right now. He needed 24 votes inside of conference today to be that nominee. But when that vote happens on the floor, Logan, you need 218 votes to become the next Speaker of the House. It became clear today to Kevin McCarthy he was not going to get that. He has now dropped out of the race for House Speaker. There are two other candidates, Daniel Webster and Jason Chaffetz. I would suspect after Kevin McCarthy drops out, there will probably be additional candidates.
Right.
Now it's wide open.
Right. People are already speculating right now on our Facebook feed and on Periscope. A lot of people they would like to see within that race, but we'll leave that to our online discussions. Jordan, thoughts?
This is huge because it makes the race. There were certainly some other good potential speaker candidates, but it was all the question was, could any of them overcome McCarthy? I want to go to Than on this. Than, I know we've got good relationships with a number of these members of Congress. This is ultimately a decision they have to make. But with McCarthy out of the way, who is the front runner now and who are the two or three we should be keeping an eye on? Because certainly they weren't as strong of front runners as McCarthy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There are two declared candidates, Daniel Webster and Jason Chaffetz. I can tell you for a fact behind the scenes right now, my iPhone here is actually just blowing up right now as we're talking. I know that there's a lot of pressure on Jim Jordan to enter this race. He is the leader of the Freedom Caucus. He's a friend of the broadcast. I would also tell you, Jordan, I think if Trey Gowdy were to decide to throw his hat in the ring, I think he could lock this up today. He has said repeatedly he does not want this job, but now that it is vacant, if there's enough pressure within the conference, I think if he decided to run, I think he'd be the next Speaker of the House.
I would say this to anyone. I mean, whether, you know, we worked with Jason Chaffetz closely in those oversight hearings. We've worked with, I know, Congressman Webster. This is the great thing about us. We have great potential candidates here. I'd say if you are Jim Jordan or you're Trey Gowdy, and it looks like you have a path to victory, you don't just do it to do it, but that there's a path there, that even if you said in the past you didn't want to get into some kind of fight, well, it's changed significantly. Another top leader has stepped out of the way. Let's totally remake Republican leadership. We have a chance to do that. And I would say to Trey Gowdy, who's a good friend of ours, to Jason Chaffetz, keep it up. And to Jim Jordan, if your heart's there at all, this is a great time to do it.
And that is kind of the overwhelming thoughts right now on Facebook and Periscope. Since you guys brought it up, I will as well. It seems like Trey Gowdy has a ton of support when it comes to the people on our Facebook and our Periscope, which is pretty interesting to see. As soon as we broke the news, that was the name that seemed to be ringing the bell of everyone. And you know what's awesome? I have to say this. The fact that our viewers and our listeners are this connected to what's going on, the fact you even know the name Trey Gowdy, and the fact that you can even say, you can speculate that's who you'd like to see as the next speaker is pretty it's pretty great. It's pretty great to have listeners that are this engaged and know what's going on. I don't know if you'll find that any other broadcast in the nation, if you listen to any other people that are as informed as the Jay Sekulow Live audience. We appreciate you joining us. All right. Well, that segment kind of blew past because of the breaking news, and we will keep covering it, but we'll also move back into what's going on in Israel. When we come back, we'll take all the phone calls we have lined up, and we do have a lot. We have one line open, though, right now, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be on the air, we'll get you in line. If you want to sign that petition still to, you know, really support Israel and stop funding all of the terrorist nations that are attacking Israel. Something that seems pretty simple to you and I, something that's a little bit harder to push through in Washington, but we could use your help. Give us a call, 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, ACLJ.org to do that. Man, things are getting crazy here right now. Join us on Facebook and Periscope. You want to hear the discussion happening. We'll be right back with Jay Sekulow Live in just a moment.
The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom, under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Logan Sekulow here joining you, joined with Jordan Sekulow and Than Bennett. We're obviously covering the news happening out of Washington right now as McCarthy drops out of the race. Wraps out of the, I guess, to be, you know, voted on today to become the new House Speaker. So things are changing rapidly, but we are still covering what's happening in Israel. And to kind of tone things back down, you know, the attacks are happening daily. We're getting confirmation and we're getting, you know, rumors and thoughts of attacks that are happening weekly or daily or even hourly sometimes by these Palestinian terrorists on Israelis. We took a lot of calls earlier. We're going to make sure we get to some of those now. We're going to go to Kim if she's ready. Is Kim ready? No, Kim is not ready. So we're going to go to Joseph. He's calling from Hamilton, Massachusetts. Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you guys doing? I want to thank you guys, first of all, for everything you guys do.
Thank you, Joseph.
I want to be bold for a second and challenge the body of Christ. And I want to know why there's only a couple hundred thousand people signing these petitions when there's millions, tens of millions of people in this nation that profess to be followers of Christ and know that Israel is God's chosen nation, and why there are not millions of people professing Christ signing, just doing a simple thing, is signing these petitions and getting their names on it to you know, we got to stop trusting the government and come together as a body and start standing for the nation of Israel. So I just want to challenge, you know, the body of Christ and say you should be putting your names on these petitions that, you know, with all the millions of Christians, man, there's no reason why there should be only 110 signatures when there's tens of millions of Christians in this nation.
Sure. Well, so, I mean, I do want to say it's 120,000, not just 110 signatures, but we do appreciate the sentiment, Joseph. And what I do want to tell you is that a lot of that has to do with people and people getting out there and sharing it with their friends on social media in ways that they're getting it other than the radio. There are millions of people that listen to this broadcast every day. You're right, but you know, some are driving in their cars right now. Some are, you know, taking their kids to school. Some are on their lunch break and aren't, you know, and don't have access to a computer because they're on their phone listening. There's a lot of these things, so there's a lot of distractions. So what we have to encourage people to do is to make sure to stay on it. And you know what, challenging the essentially the Christian nation is fantastic, and you need to do that and make sure people know about it. Tell people in your churches. But you also need to share it yourself when it comes to social media and the ways that you can essentially get the word out the best, however you see, you know, deem that fit. And you can do that, obviously, by going to aclj.org. We do have a lot of calls coming in and a lot of comments. One person, Becky Chapman, who just said on Facebook that they're informed because we're the ones who tell the truth. Well, we thank you, Becky. We kind of commented on that in the last segment as this news out of Washington breaks. You know, the fact that I said that the fact that people are already throwing in who they should be, who they think should be running for House Speaker is pretty outstanding, the fact that our audience is this informed on the issues in general. And Than, you know, and Jordan, I guess, what's going to be the next step now for what's happening in Washington?
Well, Logan, ultimately, before you can have a vote on the floor of the House for the next speaker, the Republican conference will have to put forward a nominee. So I think what will happen is there will be a new date for that for the Republican conference to pick a candidate. My guess would be next week or the week following. Ultimately, they have to put forward a nominee before you can have that election on the floor of the House. That is set right now for October 29th. We'll see. I wouldn't be too surprised if that date slips a little bit as well.
All right, let's move on to another call. Let's get to a call. We have a lot of people been on hold for a long time. Irene from New York City, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Irene.
I blame the Democrats, the Democrat Party, for voting for the Iran deal, giving Iran $150 billion to attack Israelis, Jews, of course. And they have blood on their hands from this over this weekend now, the Democrats. Please. We must put a Republican in next year for the presidency. Hillary Clinton hates Israel more than Obama, and it'll be terrible for Israel. Another 8 years of a leftist, extremist, progressive Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton. Be terrible for Israel, because all the Republicans are pro-Israel. The Democrats are anti-Israel. It's become the anti-Israel party after this Iran vote. But the Democrats have blood on their hands.
Jordan, you want to take that?
Listen, I would say, Logan, that ultimately it's we go to elections have consequences so often, but it is true. You can directly correlate the nuclear deal to the remarks made by the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, and you do that even though it's two different regions because they say America is weak. This is a time we can push our nasty rhetoric, maybe pick a real fight with Israel using these kids to carry out terrorist attacks. Maybe start a third intifada, and then we'll go back to the negotiating table after we've carried out this horrible violence and lives have been lost, and they'll give us something more. And we won't have to fear our $400 million that we receive because the U.S. just isn't, and this administration, the Obama administration, isn't the type to pull that kind of, quote, humanitarian funding, which, by the way, is funding that goes to the martyrs, the killers, the terrorists, and their families after they carried out these attacks.
Yeah, we just get a lot of comments like that coming in on our social media feed right now. We just got one from Jackie that I think is pretty interesting. She said, I don't think many pastors have preached about this. More churches need to stand up and educate their flock on Israel. And I think you're probably right about that, Jackie. You know, there is support of Israel in general throughout the church. You hear about it. But there is sort of this new wave, especially in the more modern churches and what's going on, to kind of paint Israel, the modern state of Israel, as sort of the bad guy in this situation against the Palestinians, as if you know it was being held back or something like that. And Jordan, you've gone to many of these churches around the world and seen people's points of view, but how do you feel like we need to essentially help churches understand what's going on?
We need to have those pastors who do feel that they're pro-Israel speaking about it more, especially the young people, I think youth groups too. We need to do basic education. In Israel, there's democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Right.
No one forces you to be a religious person. You can be an atheist in Israel and live quite just normally like everyone else. The issue is terrorism. Of course, Israel, like any country, a country will respond to terrorist attacks. And when they do so, when a country responds to terrorist groups, the attacks are going to be much worse. But guess what? That group had a choice. Don't attack Israel. And they won't have justification for those strikes.
Right.
If you attack Israel, and as we see here, this is already being coordinated by Hamas, then Israel has justification under international law to strike targets in Gaza. They do a great job of targeting. And we have to keep in mind, remember, our own military is killing a lot more people around the world every day because they're battling terrorism. And there are incidents. We saw that incident in Iraq at the Doctors Without Borders, the hospital there. And we see the human shields problem. Israel has to deal with that on a daily basis. They are our ally. The Palestinian Authority, through Hamas, is an enemy of the United States. So is Iran, the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Think about it that way. They want to come here. They want to kill you. They want to destroy your civilization. They're just picking on their closest neighbor and their ultimate adversary in Israel.
Yeah, but I think a comment just came in on Periscope, and I couldn't agree more. It said ignorance may destroy us, and I think they're absolutely right on that. It is sort of this weird wave of people that support these Palestinian nations, support these Muslim nations, but don't understand the fact that it's you're supporting the exact opposite of what liberalism essentially should be standing for in general. When you think about all the different, you said forced religion, all your different ways that you have to live, or you're killed, or you're put in prison, or, you know, Pastor Saeed for being a Christian, or you're murdered for being a homosexual. There's all these different things you can that come about in these nations, but for some reason, it's popular right now to support them. And here's what we have. We have about three lines open right now because we just took a few calls, and I really want to hear your points of views as we go into the last segment. Sorry, my voice cracked there. It's because I'm passionate about this. All right, so I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice on the air. If you're watching via Facebook and Periscope, I want your feedback as well. And if you want to be on the air, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We have a lot of people, a lot of Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, as well as just Jewish people in general chiming in. We just had one, Debbie Lander, said, I'm a Jewish believer. I have been asked why the majority of Jewish people seem to vote Democrat. Maybe one of us could explain why. Debbie, you know, maybe I'll again kind of pitch this back to Jordan. You do see that sort of wave, but things are changing. Times are changing as you see this anti-Israel rhetoric really, really be strong.
Well, and I'd say it like this. Why do the majority of Christians vote Democrat? Why do they? And now that doesn't include evangelicals. It doesn't include right. those of us who are listening to this broadcast. But if you look at just Christians generally, Catholics, Protestants, the people who identify as Christians, then the most of those still support vote Democrat. It's when it comes down to the faithful people. So the Jewish people in America who attend synagogue, like you attend church on a weekly basis or at least a couple times a month, are much more likely they actually vote Republican. They are registered Republicans. They're a smaller group. It's when you start getting into people who are not as religious, more secular, this is their heritage, but not necessarily a religious belief of theirs, that it gets more liberal. And, of course, they also have their synagogues like we have our churches that are much more liberal. Sure. Some of the mainline churches in the United States, I could say, compared to the Reform and even conservative Orthodox churches here in the U.S. But when you get to the very religious Jewish Americans, they vote Republican. They vote conservative. They are conservatives.
That's right. And we need your help as well. As we go into this final segment of the broadcast, we come back, we'll wrap up with a lot of phone calls. The lines are lighting up right now, but you still have time to get in. 1-800-684-3110. But we also need your help with this petition that we currently have. Essentially, tell our government and tell this administration you don't want your taxpayer dollars funding terrorism against Israel. It's as simple as that. And it's insane that I even have to say that, but it's just the truth. Go to ACLJ.org to sign that petition or call in 877-989-2255. And we'll join you for the last segment of Jay Sekulow Live coming up right after this.
The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally, Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Jay Sekulow Live. Final segment of the broadcast today. We've been mixing things up a little bit because we're talking about, obviously, the situation going on in Israel right now, but also about McCarthy dropping out of the race for House Speaker as the election is postponed for that, and people are chiming in on both ways. We do have a lot of callers coming in, and we've had like someone like Rose. Let's go to Rose. Rose, you've been on hold 24 minutes. I apologize. Maybe I can get a copy of a book signed out to you. Maybe from we'll get you a copy of The Rise of ISIS signed and sent to you, Rose, for staying on hold. We appreciate it. You're on the air.
Appreciate all your work there. And I would like to say that the United States belongs in Israel to defend its borders and possibly our allies over there instead of the countries that are against us. And I just feel like Ezekiel 38:39 is right around the corner.
Yep. I think a lot of people feel that way. When you start reading you know, just people's online comments that I get here through Facebook and Periscope that I'm monitoring continually, I think that, Rose, your comments and your sentiments are definitely held by many of our listeners, and we appreciate your calling. But you're right. We all should be supporting Israel. And you know what that means exactly? I'm not the person to say that. Maybe Jordan could chime in on that. What do we do when it comes to us supporting Israel in these times of situations, in times of what could potentially turn out to be war?
Well, listen, we have to make sure our military is ready to go. So that's part one. And the Obama administration has certainly not done a good job. Well, they've done a good job of decimating our military.
Cutting it, yep.
So having our military ready to go. And then part two, making sure we elect people who will do exactly what Rose was talking about, who will stand with Israel, who would be willing to use U.S. assets to defend Israel. And, you know, for the most part, Logan, Israel doesn't need that. What Israel's got a great military. What Israel needs is the U.S. Really moral support at the United Nations, in the international community. And Israel can defend itself. Israel can handle itself, but it needs that. It needs almost a public relations firm like the United States of America, the best one in the world, to stand with it when it does have to engage in these military incursions. And I will tell you, Israelis don't want to be involved in these. It means more Israelis killed, means less peace, longer battles. It hurts the economy. It's putting young kids at risk. You know, they're 18, 19 years old when they join, men and women. And so ultimately what Israel needs is not someone fighting side by side at this point. They need someone standing with them at the international community saying they've got a true, not just a friend, as some like to use, but an ally, our top ally being Israel. And when the U.S. is your country's top ally, you are very strong.
Absolutely. And you need to stand up for yourself as well as the country right now and let everyone know how you feel about this situation by signing our petition right now at ACLJ.org. Requesting, let me see how many, what's our current number up of people? Almost well over 100,000 people had signed it in the last few days. I believe we're currently, and I'm going to pull up the current number. We'll let you know, 120,751 signatures. That's pretty good. Let's try to get that up by the end of the show. Let's do 121,000. You can do it. You're listening. You've got 5 minutes. Join on there. Go to aclj.org. See what we can do about that. All right. Also, we got a lot of calls coming in. We got to get to them. I'm sorry for keeping you on hold. Bill from California. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right, you're on the air.
I want to start blaming American churches and American pastors, especially replacement theology. These guys, these pastors are teaching a cotton candy Disneyland disciples instead of warning the church about God's wrath to come and about Israel. Next to God, Israel's the most mentioned name in the Bible.
Right. And Bill, I think you're right in the fact that there are a lot of churches that aren't explaining the situation to Israel properly, that certainly aren't really either fully educated or aren't standing up in the right way as a fear in some of the ways that you hear someone like Secretary Kerry, who kind of says, oh, well, we should let everyone calm down on both sides. We want both sides to be okay. It's kind of the same situation, the rhetoric of the church, because in a lot of these churches, it's what's popular. It's popular to be against Israel in a really bizarre turn of events. And you're absolutely right, Bill. These churches need to stand up. We have a lot of comments coming in that essentially these lukewarm churches are what's going to essentially could be the demise of what happens in these situations in general. But let's move on. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Tracy from Springfield, Oregon. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good morning, and God bless you guys.
Good morning.
I'm kind of curious, and it just has baffled me for a while now. I signed the petitions from ACLJ. I signed petitions from
Other Liberty organizations.
Council.
Yeah.
All these organizations, exactly. We have so many of these different organizations that have petitions that basically say the same thing.
Well, you know, it depends on Tracy. I'm just going to, I'll definitely pitch this back to Than because he can kind of elaborate more. But there's a little bit difference between what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice and what some of those other organizations do. And that's great. I'm glad they all have petitions as well. But we have the access. I know that sounds like I'm bragging or something like that. But the fact that you're Than Bennett, you have a Washington, D.C. office that's directly across from the Supreme Court of the United States, where literally your petitions are printed out and walked over by hand by many of these times, not just an email. They're not sent an email with an Excel document of a lot of people's names and numbers. They're sent. They messages are being made, Than, and it's the reason why the ACLJ has a little bit of the upper hand in this situation.
Well, you certainly have that presence in Washington, D.C., Logan. But the other thing that makes it just so powerful is we've also got the presence in the courts. We've got the consultative status at the European UN. Center for Law and Justice at the United Nations. So what we try to do here at the ACLJ that's a little bit different than some of the other organizations, and by the way, we partner with them
absolutely
on numerous occasions, but what's different is we try to approach these problems from a worldwide perspective and hit it from multiple different angles. So my response to Tracy would simply be we can respond in a multifaceted way, whereas in some cases others cannot.
That's right, Tracy. I hope that makes sense to you. Thanks for calling. Again, the ACLJ on the forefront of every situation and has, again, access like no other to these situations, whether it's through the UN or through the government. All right, we only got 2 minutes. We got two calls. Let's try. Rebecca Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hey, it's nice talking to you. So I think that you hit the nail right on the head a little bit ago when you said that the pastors and the youth group leaders need to be reaching
right
out. I think that there is a terrible misunderstanding. No, I'm not going to even say misunderstanding. It's pretty clear the rhetoric that is brought through public schools.
Sure.
As I told your screener, I was always brought up pro-Israel. You support Israel.
Right,
God has favor in those people. And, you know, Israel is not just the nation. It's the body of Christ. And so then my husband, you know, he grew up in the church, too. But he was always so wrapped up in what media and school
sure
and his schoolmates were telling him. Oh, the Jews are penny pinchers. Oh, Israel. Oh, the Jewish faith.
All right. Rebecca, I'm not trying to cut you off because I actually agree with almost everything you said, but we only got a minute left of the show. What I do want to tell you, though, is you're right about the fact that these churches do need to stand up for Israel. What we can hope for is that when these attacks, in some weird way, you start to see the tide of public opinion change like it did with Planned Parenthood, and you see these churches going, okay, we need to stand up for Christians. The fact that some of those things were said, I'm sorry if that offended anyone listening to the broadcast. Jeremy in Oregon, I'm going to give you 10 seconds if you can. Just get your comments out. I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Jeremy, you're on the air.
It's fine. I was just wondering whether or not, according to the Geneva Convention, the Israeli settlements on the West Bank are legal or not.
All right. Is there a 10-second answer to that, Jordan or Than? Jordan?
I would say quickly, yes, they are legal. That's because there has not been a finalized border
right
between the two.
It's
if
all
there
part
is a finalized
of
border, that would change things. But
right
there's not. Israel still occupies the West Bank.
Right, because it's part of the Israeli state. All right. Thank you much for joining us on the Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be back tomorrow. Give us a call if you want to sign that petition, though, right now. We could use your support, 1-877-989-2255, or very easily through ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live with more of your questions or comments.
We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.